too. Let me bring in some political analysts now so that we can look at what President Cyril Ramaphosa should be saying tonight and what should he not be saying tonight. One of the questions I've been asking you this morning is, what can he say, really, to give you hope? What can he say to encourage you, right, in the midst of the challenges we're facing in this country? Because tonight, he will be addressing a nation in despair. The civil society is not happy with his administration. They're taking him to court. They're protesting. Yeah. There are professors that are now asking if life was better during apartheid. There are people asking if this president is not the worst president since 1994. So what should he be focusing on and what should he not be focusing on? Let's bring in Kaya Sithole, who is an independent political analyst. He's a chartered accountant. Kaya, thank you so much for making time. I was about to say Mr. Sithole. You'll tell me what you prefer. Good morning.
Good morning.
Mr. Sithole, thank you for joining us. We also have Makosini Mkijwa, who is a political and social commentator. Makosini, thank you for also making time. Good morning.
Good morning to you, to the listeners, and to Kaya.
Yeah. Kaya, here's the question I want to ask. What should, the two-pronged question one. One, what should the president say tonight? Because he'll be addressing a nation, as I said, in despair, a nation that's really struggling to have hope. So what should he say? And what should he not say?
It's a difficult one. I think what we obviously expect him to say is to explain to us what is going to be the solution to the country's energy crisis. And I think the energy crisis, more than any other problem that we have, is the one that is just making it very difficult for a lot of citizens to navigate through their daily life. We also have issues relating to unemployment and poverty, but I think what this energy crisis has done is that even the small gains that have been made in getting many more people to try and access the world of work in particular, that is being compromised. The people that are trying to start businesses are being compromised by the country's energy insecurity. So I think we do need something that resembles a concrete roadmap to how that is going to be addressed. And that's the one thing that is probably going to dominate the crux of the speech. The second part of it is that obviously he has been making promises in all his State of the Nation address about things that are going to be done differently. So we need to be able to figure out whether any of things are happening, and if they're not happening, what is he going to do ahead of the cabinet reshuffle to ensure that they are not paralyzed by the inability of his own cabinet members to actually do their job. So I think those are the two primary issues that we have to focus on tonight.
And what should he not say? I mean, the last time he came and told us about bullet trains and smart cities and big, bold...
A new smart city, and he should not tell us that everything is working, because things are not working. What we also expect him to avoid doing is to downplay the severity of the issues that we're facing.
Yeah.
Because I think over the past couple of months, when we are now reached 100 consecutive days of load shedding, it is no longer possible to downplay the scale of the crisis. And also then to deal with the big questions of, well, what are you going to do at the executive level to deal with the crisis? What are you going to do at the operational level to deal with the crisis? And also the fact that the ANC has come up with this idea of a state of disaster. What exactly do you think that will change? Because from where I'm sitting, there is nothing that is currently stopping the state from doing what it needs to do. So a state of disaster doesn't accelerate the process, because if you cannot build a partition overnight, you won't be able to do it even if there's a state of disaster. We must avoid selling that as the solution to the problem, because it won't be a solution.
Yeah, Makosidi, what about you? What are you expecting? I've been saying to the listeners, I mean, if there's some, even if it's a little bit of acknowledgement that we are the reason for this mess, we've caused it, and then this is the plan that we have. Because often there's no acknowledgement or even, you know, accountability mechanisms, and even acknowledgement of, as this administration, this is what we failed to do over the years. And then we just told about the solutions. And I believe if we want to really deal with the crisis we're facing, we also have to start from the beginning. How did we get here? So what are you expecting from the president, and what is it that he should not say tonight?
Look, what I'm expecting, Clement, is that infrastructure spend. You know, we need to rebuild the public infrastructure, because, the infrastructure has practically collapsed, which means that people are not able to get services, the country, the economy goes down. And I think if he can announce a spend on infrastructure, one, that will create job opportunities for people, and services will be brought back online, and the country becomes attractive to investors. I think what the president must avoid saying, or rather the posture he must avoid, is that of a sweet talker, of trying to make us feel like everything is going well or is going to go well, and when people on the ground are feeling the difficulty, there's a lot of despair on the ground, and it's not going to help. And I'm not saying that he should make us feel worse than we already do, but certainly it helps if there's an acknowledgement on his part that people on the ground are having it very difficult, especially the poorest of the poor. In South Africa is a country of two nations, one rich and one poor. And the president himself and many people, including ourselves as commentators, are in the better, you know, half of the country. And the other half that is really, really experiencing the hardships that come with COVID, the hardships that come with load shedding. You know, sometimes we talk as if small businesses are the only ones that are affected. Yes, they are affected, but ordinary people are affected because you pay your money, you get into a taxi, you go to town to withdraw money, and the ATM is not working because there is no electricity. So this affects people in so many ways. I think that the issue of Eskom needs to be addressed in a pragmatic way, because right now this government comes across as a bunch of influencers for renewables. When we have coal that can last us 200 to 300 years underground, and we choose not to ban it and look at other sources, I think there has to be a healthy mix and a bit of pragmatism in our approach.
Yeah, I think Kusile is still going to be with us until 2071, if I'm not mistaken. I think Andre de Reiter was trying to clarify the other day that, you know, this idea that we're walking away from coal, we're just finding other alternative sources of energy. And speaking of energy, Kaya, there are a number of things that I particularly am looking forward to hear from the president. You've already spoken about the national state of disaster. Is he going to use this opportunity to announce it or not? And maybe tell us what it's going to allow them to do. But also, diesel. Do you think he will or should talk about how government will be helping Eskom buy diesel? Because Treasury hasn't demonstrated any commitment so far. And in order for us to move from the higher stages of load shedding, we need Eskom to get diesel. And Eskom doesn't have money to get diesel. And then the second question, do you think we're going to get relief for SMMEs? Because they've been saying, give us relief, we're dying. Do you think the president will be bold enough to say, we will reprioritize funds? And I know the details may come later at the budget speech, but at the very least, mention it here and respond to the cries of the small businesses.
Yeah, so what he will highlight is that last year he hired Stephen Bosi to be the chief breaker of bureaucracy.
Red tape cutter.
And the red tape. Yeah, the red tape cutter within the presidency. Unfortunately, from the moment Mr. Nkosi was appointed, I can tell you that he's only made one public appearance, and that was at the birthday party of somebody else. So he has said absolutely nothing in an entire year about what the president asked him to do and what the progress has been in relation to that. So, of course, small businesses have been left in limbo for an entire 12 months when the president said, I've appointed someone to deal with your issue, and absolutely nothing has been done about that. So he will come today and he'll talk about Operation Vulindlela as being part of that whole range of interventions that are aimed at unlocking those bottlenecks. But the evidence in front of us is that absolutely nothing has happened materially different to unlock our small businesses. In fact, it's been in the opposite direction, because as you've seen the cost of living crisis and the load shedding crisis, it has made it even more difficult to run a small business in South Africa. So that's not a good story to tell. On the question of diesel for Eskom, that is actually an operational question. What we want to be able to hear from him is what the country's policy direction is. Are we a country that says whatever it takes to keep the lights on, we'll do it, even if it includes buying extra diesel? And then, of course, that will mean that National Treasury has to respond to that by making it available to Eskom in order to enable them to buy the diesel. But we don't want the president to come and discuss operational matters at the State of the Nation address, because, well, once it's done with the diesel, then we'll ask questions about should we be giving money to Tottenham Hotspurs, and then it suddenly starts degenerating and doesn't become a State of the Nation address, but an operational update from various departments.
Yeah. Makosini, I want to ask you about the strategy that the EFF has taken, and suppose even the ATM, to disrupt the president. It's not a new one. They've been doing it every single year. Has it actually given us results in the past? Because the ATM says, in fact, I must stop calling it a disruption. I must call it accountability, because that's one of the accountability mechanisms, they say. But how has it helped us?
Look, it has helped the political parties. There's an election coming next year. They hog the headlines for some time. They will occupy the discussion for some time. But I don't think that that's very helpful to the country, because when the president delivers the State of the Nation address, symbolically he's speaking to parliamentarians because they are in front of him, but he's speaking to us as the 16 million citizens of this country. And we want to hear what the president is saying about the many problems that we are facing. And even when the matter is reported, when the whole State of the Nation address is reported, when there are disruptions, the media will tend to focus on the disruption. And that's how we were distracted for the number of years that President Zuma was in charge, because every time there was this, at the center of the news cycle. And so the Cyril Ramaphosa, for all that is not good about him and Palapala and all that, he is not what is at the center of our problems as a country. And we need to talk about problems, and he needs to tell us what he is going to do, his government is going to do about that. And for us to be sitting watching a spectacle of him being disrupted and people being kicked out of parliament and the reporting being about that, it doesn't help us, because it detracts from the very important issues that we should be talking about as a nation. We should be talking about the state of lawlessness in this country, that it's become commonplace that a woman gets into a taxi and disappears, nobody sees her ever again. There is this malfeasance. I think that his government is stuck in a malfeasance or corruption gridlock, so that nothing can happen. You put money in it, it gets lost. Those things need to be attended to, and for us to be successful in one issue that's already being ventilated in court and in other areas, and let that be one issue to disrupt parliament from its work, I don't think it's helpful.
Mm-hmm. All right. Makosini Mkijwa, political and social commentator, Kaya Sithole, independent political analyst. Thanks to both of you for making time for us.